Hey everybody, in this video I want to talk about how the elite, or as I call them, Mr. Cage, media, religion, corporations, academia, governments, and entertainment, are using their vast resources to steal even more resources from the good working people of this world. And all of the oligarchs' propagandists are in full force, and what really bothers me the most is when they use words completely incorrectly, on purpose, to drive people into the incorrect decisions, because they rig the information that the people are making their decisions based off of. They beguile people through their senses. They feed them sensory information strategically. And they repeat the lie over and over again, and the truth gets diluted amongst the falsehoods. So before we dive into all of this, I want to talk about two major points that I think are well encapsulated by these tweets here. Serco on Twitter says, "Whether or not you want to take the vaccine, it's not the issue. If you accept that governments have the right to exclude people from society to force medical treatments on them, sooner or later, a government that you don't trust will be forcing you to take a treatment you don't want." Ben Davis writes, "You must take the vaccine if you want to work," which of course isn't true for everybody, but in a lot of industries and a lot of countries, it's becoming more and more true. The trajectory is definitely trending towards that draconian future. So think about it. If your job is forcing you to take the vaccine if you want to work, you must work if you want to earn money. You must earn money if you want to buy food. You must buy food if you want to eat. You must eat if you want to live. Call it what it is, a death sentence to the non-compliant. Exactly, they're starving the people who don't go along with the plan to death. It's absolutely inhumane and totally out of control. So we've seen the mainstream media parrot the same thing over and over and over again in regards to these vaccines. They say they're medical miracles. They say they're safe. They say they're effective. And sometimes they'll even use these adjectives like amazingly effective, unbelievably safe, perfectly safe, in order to further embellish and exaggerate their claims. So here's an example. I just searched safe and effective on Google News. Low dose of Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine is safe and effective in children 5 to 11. Companies study finds. One of the richest men in the world, Jeff Bezos, owns this organization, The Washington Post. He also, through Amazon, just launched Amazon Pharmacy. And all of these media companies get a ton of money and will get a ton of money if they help out Big Pharma in this money grab. So I call it the Mr. Cage complex. Media, religion, corporations, academia, governments, and entertainment. And what I see this as is one big power grab and one big money grab. The media is hyping this thing up. The governments are forcing it. The corporations are forcing it. And all the while, these big pharma companies are making so much money. They have almost total liability protection. They're getting to roll out booster shots with everyone still saying, no, you can't say it's not effective. Fact check false, it's totally effective. We'll talk about that in a second. But I just see Mr. Cage, all of these different institutions that are really interconnected, robbing us blind right now. Robbing us totally blind. We've seen a lot of headlines like this. COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. So we've seen about a million headlines like this. Pfizer says its vaccine is safe and effective for kids. The same Pfizer who's had to pay billions of dollars for illegal business practices. Biden gets the booster shot, calls it safe and effective. So many articles, you know they've been saying this. They've been saying it like it's their mantra. It's like one of their favorite slogans. Because it pushes the people to make the decision that the elites want us to make. They want us to say, I think it's a good idea to go get the vaccine. And why would somebody think it's a good idea to get the vaccine? Well, they're afraid of COVID. They think the vaccine's safe. And they think it's going to protect them from COVID. Hence, that's what the media keeps telling everybody, even though the facts seem to differentiate from the claims. And we'll talk about those in a second. Now, let's look at the first half of that claim, safe. What does safe mean? Because they're using English to make a scientific claim, are they not? They say it's safe. What are they actually trying to convey to you? Some people even say it's perfectly safe. What is that messenger trying to convey to the audience? Well, let's look. Safe, definition. Protected from or not exposed to danger or risk. Not likely to be harmed. And conversely, what's the antonym of safe? Dangerous. Let's look at that definition. Able or likely to cause harm or injury. So the question is, which side is this closer to? I would say it definitely fits the definition of dangerous, and it doesn't fit the definition of safe. Yet you'll never hear them say it's dangerous, and you'll always hear them say it's safe. Why is that? And I know some people might disagree with me, so I'll show you why I think it's dangerous and not safe. Remember, safe means not likely to be harmed, not exposed to danger or risk. Dangerous means able or likely to cause harm or injury. Let's start with this document from Moderna straight off the FDA website, Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee meeting. Back on September 17th of 2020, if we click on safety, 94.5%, it says, 94.5% of the people in the vaccine group had, quote, solicited adverse reactions after any injection. Let's look at the more severe examples, grade 3 and grade 4. Grade 3 means severe. Grade 4 means life-threatening. 9.1% of the subjects had a grade 3 solicited injection site reaction. That's right around where you got stabbed with their needle. 16.5% of people had a grade 3 or 4 solicited systemic adverse reaction. That's somewhere else in your body, some other system in your body. So tell me, which one is it? Is the Moderna vaccine safe? Are you protected or not exposed to danger or risk? Not likely to be harmed? Or is it dangerous, able or likely to cause harm or injury? Again, 94.5% of the people had a solicited adverse reaction after any injection, including a lot of severe or life-threatening, according to this chart right here in the FDA grading scheme. Now let's search in this document for the safety summary. It reads, the most common solicited adverse reactions were injection site pain, 92%. They're saying 92% of people got injection site pain, which of course it probably has something to do with the violent procedure of injecting serum into your deltoid with a needle. But I think a lot of these instances go above and beyond just the needle pain. Because if it was just the needle pain that counts as injection site pain, wouldn't it be 100%? Like, how do people say they didn't feel pain in their injection site? You got stabbed with a needle. So I'd be curious to see what their definition of injection site pain is. And if they count needle pain as injection site pain, shouldn't we throw out all the subjects who didn't feel any needle pain? If you don't feel pain, maybe you shouldn't be the human who tries it for the rest of us. Okay, fatigue, 68.5%. So a loss of energy. Headache, 63%. Muscle pain, 59.6%. Joint pain, 44.8%. Chills, 43.4%. Up to 9.7% were reported as severe. And also it says more frequent after dose 2 than after dose 1, which begs the question about the booster shot. Are they going to have even more frequent reactions? And when you add up all the reaction percentages for dose 1, 2, and 3, have you hurt everyone at that point? How can you say you're reducing harm by harming everybody and then forcing other people to take it and then inflicting the death penalty, essentially starving them to death, if they don't? These people are evil bastards. Let's look at the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System from the FDA and CDC. You can see there's 15,937 deaths labeled with the COVID vaccine. So it doesn't mean they all died from the vaccine, but they died after their vaccine. Look at the total count, though. 752,801 reports. 752,000. Soon they're going to be at a million. And we know that not all adverse events that should be reported are reported. There's a lot of hospitals covering this up. A lot of physicians who don't know to report this. A bunch of patients who don't know to report this, who are being gaslit into thinking that reactions are actually a good thing. We'll talk about that in a second. But let's click this box here, which will turn it only to U.S. territories and unknown, which is mostly the U.S., I would figure, because sometimes they're lazy and don't fill out all the fields. So this will take out the foreign reports. Still, over 580,000 U.S. reports, 7,215 deaths after people's COVID vaccines in the United States that made their way into VARs. Now, let me show you something about the distribution of those deaths. Distribution of days after shot for deaths. Look at this huge spike in the first days following people's dose, which tapers off as the weeks progress. Why are the daily averages in the first week so much higher than the other days? Why do we see such a huge spike on day one? And really on day zero too, because day zero is a half day. And let me go through a couple of examples here, because there's a lot of very suspicious deaths in VARs. So in this report, I whittle it down to the people who died one day after or the same day as their vaccine. And I ordered it based on age ascending. And you can see there's 807 results of people who died on the same day as their vaccine or the day after. Let's read some of these. 19-year-old male died the day after his vaccine. Found deceased in bed, no known symptoms, undetermined cause and manner of death. This person here got the vaccine on 3/26, died on 3/27 the next day. 21-year-old female. Patient contacted 911 complaining of not feeling well and difficulty breathing. Upon arrival, patient was found by EMS in cardiac arrest. EMS was unable to get circulation going again. The next one, 22-year-old man, died on the same day as his vaccine, 8/18. So at 1:34, the resident received the first dose of the vaccine. By 8:50, resident was unresponsive with shallow breathing, eyes open, but verbally no sound. 911 was unable to get a BP on resident. The next one, 23-year-old male, died the day after his vaccine. He did not tell me about symptoms. He just died the next day of the vaccine. Still today, doesn't know why he died. He appeared to be in good health. The next one is a 24-year-old female, died the day after her vaccine. On 4/29, resident was checked at 6:30 and found to be at a baseline status. At approximately 6:55, resident was found pulseless and apneic. Okay, that's 25 minutes after the injection. 25 minutes was found pulseless. CPR initiated and resident transferred to medical center. Expired at 7:39 p.m. So 25 minutes after the shot, found pulseless. 1 hour and 9 minutes after the shot, marked as expired. And then these ones hardly give us any detail. 24-year-old male died the same day as his vaccine. 26-year-old male died the day after his vaccine. 26-year-old male died the day after his vaccine. 27-year-old male died the day after his vaccine. 27-year-old male died the same day as his vaccine. On the first day, patient was feeling tired, dizzy, and foggy. 18 hours later was found dead on the floor. 27-year-old male. The next one, 27-year-old male died the day after his vaccine. 28-year-old male died the same day as his vaccine. Patient received the vaccine around 11 a.m. He hadn't been feeling well. Headache, dizziness, per report, and initially called into work. He then decided to come to work and was found down in a patient bathroom during his shift on our facility while taking care of a patient. The next one, 28-year-old male, died the day after his vaccine. Patient found in early morning hours by family member. Unfortunately, he had already expired with rigor. The next one, 29-year-old female, died the day after her vaccine. Patient described myalgia, headache, and dyspnea at ER visit on 4/1 at 2:37 p.m. Patient was discharged. Patient returned the same day at 3:40. Cyanotic, altered, hypoxic, and hypotensive. She went into cardiopulmonary arrest, was revived, rearrested, and died. Just read one more. We could read 800 of these. 32-year-old male died the day after his vaccine. Cardiac arrest, death approximately 12 hours later. Now, are they telling me that all of these are fake or unrelated? Pretty much. They're pretty much telling us, don't look at any of these. All of these are fake or completely coincidental. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. I don't think you've proven that. Frankly, I don't think you've proven anything. I don't think you've proven a damn thing. You know, our first question to you is like, where's the isolated virus? And you never answered us. That was just our first question, by the way. We had a whole series of questions. And you failed on the first question. Where's the isolated virus? I don't know. We don't have any record of that. And you're going to force vaccines on people and tell us they're safe and effective when we see people die in the same day? When we see 750,000 reports in VARs after people's COVID-19 vaccine? When the companies are allowed to run their own clinical trials and even report 94.5%, as Moderna did, side effect rate. These are some evil people, and they want you to be fired for saying no. Even to the booster shot, just wait. People who say no to the booster shot will be fired as well. It's fucking Nazi. So speaking of these clinical trials, I think this is a fascinating video from Vox News with the ridiculous headline, "Vaccine Side Effects Are Actually a Good Thing." And in this video, they have this woman here, Dr. Kirsten Leich, who apparently was involved in one of the trials. Let's listen to the intro for this lady.
Scientists scrutinize its effectiveness. But before any of that, a vaccine first has to pass this crucial phase, where scientists study the side effects.
In a trial, you call it adverse events, but that's kind of overstating it.
Dr. Kirsten Leich led a phase 1 trial for the COVID-19 vaccine made by Pfizer and BioNTech, She says side effects are a possibility with any vaccine.
In general.
Which is a low bar. It's like, hey, we inject you with this other stuff that hurts you. So with any vaccine, we should be allowed to hurt you. No, that's bullshit. That's not real medicine. That's fucked up is what it is.
It's nothing to fear. It's our own immune systems kicking in and doing what it's supposed to do.
But many of the new COVID-19 vaccines are more likely to cause these kinds of side effects than you might be used to, particularly after the second dose. Most people will feel a little pain in their arm. Many will be tired and get headaches.
I mean, obviously, having no side effects is desirable, but I think with the spike protein of the coronavirus, it really does elicit some side effects.
But that's...
It doesn't inspire much confidence, if you ask me. She says, well, obviously it'd be great if there weren't any side effects. That would be desirable. But unfortunately, since we're using the spike protein, we can't quite do that. Well, maybe you should look into why not. And then you have to ask yourself, why are we using a dangerous approach? That's what side effects are. It's danger. She says there's nothing to be afraid of. I wonder if all these people that we just talked about who died on the day of their vaccine or the day after were told about all the possible side effects that could happen. I wonder if somebody told them side effects are a good thing. That's your immune system. And the other thing that's ridiculous about this video is it points out the different stages of the clinical trials. It says phase one is about safety and side effects. Phase two is about effectiveness.
Kirsten Lake led a phase one trial for the COVID-19.
And phase three is about effectiveness and safety. And then they have this woman on, this doctor, who says side effects are a good thing. Don't worry about them. I mean, it'd be great if we don't have side effects, she says. But it's a vaccine, so vaccines have side effects. She can't get around that. It'd be ideal if we didn't have side effects. It's like, lady, you're supposed to be investigating whether this drug gives side effects. That's the phase one of the trial. You're saying it does have side effects, but you still give it the okay. And what bothers me most is they can't explain why there are side effects. I mean, she kind of attributes it to the spike protein there. But they can't tell any given patient if they're going to have side effects. That's why they have everybody wait 15 minutes. That's why they say there's no medical exemptions unless you get hurt by the first shot. That's what some people are saying. It's almost unfathomable how much harm they're really doing right now. Now, they could make the argument. I've never heard them really make this argument because they're too busy gaslighting us about it being safe. But they could say, hey, the virus is dangerous. The vaccine is dangerous. You have to pick your poison. And we think that this poison will help you against that poison. And in the long run, you'll be better off. No, they say it's safe and effective. How couldn't you want it? It's safe. You can't say it's not safe. Oh, it's very effective, even though we're rolling out the booster shots. And you can't point out that in Israel, the effectiveness goes down to 16% after 6 months after the second dose. They say, oh, that just means you need a booster shot. Doesn't mean it's not effective. Which we'll talk about what the word effective means in a second here. And I say poison, knowing the definition of poison. Here's the definition. A substance that is capable of causing the illness or death of a living organism when introduced or absorbed. So it definitely meets that definition, especially at higher doses. But they just gaslight us. They don't say, yeah, there's risks, but there are benefits, and the benefits outweigh the risks. They tell us it's safe and effective. You're an idiot. You're retarded if you don't do what we say. To take these two shots and then take the third when we tell you to. This is bullshit. These people are evil psychopaths. Here's another great post, and Twitter slapped a warning label on it and doesn't let you retweet it. From PN_1984 on Twitter. Absence of evidence doesn't mean evidence of absence. Quote, there's no evidence the vaccine causes infertility, end quote, means research hasn't been conducted. Evidence doesn't exist. This is very different from, quote, research has found no evidence of increased risk of infertility from the vaccine. And what's interesting is they slapped the warning label on this. This is absolutely correct logic. Put very eloquently, absence of evidence doesn't mean evidence of absence. And they're very strategic in how they use their words, obviously. When they write their fact checks, they never say, we can 100% guarantee you will not lose your baby if you take the shot due to the shot. They never say, we'll 100% guarantee with money if we're wrong that your fertility will not drop a single bit due to this shot. So what they do is they find somebody who says that you'll go infertile. And they say, they don't have any evidence that you'll go infertile. Why don't you actually fact check them and say, here's what evidence we do have. Here are the knowns. Here are the unknowns. And yeah, it is concerning we don't have more data on pregnancy. And yeah, it is a huge concern that we have a gap in our data. But they don't do that. They just say the other side doesn't have evidence that it does hurt you. So they don't address the actual argument that many of us are making, that they have so many gaps in their data, and they never address the actual concern that many of us don't trust these people, either in their goodwill or their ability to develop a safe and effective product. And we look at unknowns as risk. And apparently they don't see any risk in not having this data. And they still run around saying it's safe and effective. Let's turn our attention to the definition for effective: successful in producing a desired or intended result. So the first question is, effective at what? What is the intended result? I think I know what it really is. I think it's to make Mr. Cage a ton of money and subjugate us to them. But in the context in which they use the word effective in regards to what vaccines are supposed to do, you would think effective means stop the ability to catch the virus, be infected by the virus, spread the virus. That's what the word effective would mean to me in this context that they use it. That you're not going to catch the virus for a very, very long time, really the rest of your life. But that's not what they mean at all. If you really drill down and ask them what they mean by safe and effective, you never get any traction. So they claim it's successful in producing a desired or intended result. Keep in mind, when they say the vaccines are safe and effective, that's a scientific claim using English. Thus, we should look at the definitions of what each of these words mean and see that it's a total lie. Their scientific claim using English about the vaccines, safe and effective, evaluates to false. It evaluates to false. Case in point, evidence A, here's what's happening in Israel, according to their own Ministry of Health, which gets cited. This PDF gets cited all the time by the CDC, but they never actually analyze it like any critically thinking person would. Look at these two metrics: SARS-CoV-2 infection and symptomatic COVID-19. These two outcomes. This is what an effective vaccine should protect you against. And that's what the red line represents: how much protection people have over time from their second dose from these two outcomes. So on the left, you can see it starts at 75% protection against infection. And it drops and drops and drops and drops all the way down to 16%. Same thing on the right. Symptomatic COVID-19 protection from the vaccine starts a little bit higher, actually, but drops to the same point. 16% for protection against both of these outcomes after 6 months from your second dose. And also, this was back in mid-July when we got the last data point on this. Now, why did they leave us with such a cliffhanger? Actually, more like a cliff plummeter. This thing is in precipitous drop mode right now. The question is, where is it going to end up? And so they're throwing their booster shots at this, saying, oh, no, that doesn't mean it's not effective. We're going to still pretend like this is effective. How is this effective? This is a stopgap measure, if anything. 6 months is not a long term. And speaking of long term, they have no long-term safety data. They have no long-term efficacy data. Which is the next thing I wanted to talk about is experimental, which is something they don't want you to call the vaccine. But before we do, let's cover a couple other points on effectiveness. Here's a thought I posted on Twitter the other day. The need for booster shots prove the vaccines aren't effective, yet they say they are effective, and we can't say otherwise. What the heck do they think the word effective means? Okay, let's switch over to the question of whether the vaccines are experimental. I think clearly they're experimental. They want to invoke science. Fauci says that he is science. So you criticize Fauci, you criticize science, according to Fauci. So let's think about the scientific method, right? Because experiment is a part of the process. And if you haven't surpassed that stage, it's still experimental. And I don't think they've passed that stage. And it's an important question because it puts them in the same category as Mengele, if it is experimental, and they're not telling people that. And actually, due to the amount of harm they've inflicted with these things and the volume of doses that have been deployed without telling people all the facts, in this case, notably that they're still experimental, is a huge crime against humanity, in my opinion. So let's look at a couple of Google News results for this search here: vaccines and not experimental. No, COVID-19 vaccines do not violate the Nuremberg Code, which, by the way, we've seen a number of these corporate news outlets run articles and fact checks about this. They say, no, we don't need to get informed consent, like some conspiracists online say, some conspiracy theorists. We don't need to get informed consent. This isn't an experiment. The Nuremberg Code doesn't apply to COVID vaccines, they say. What the hell are you talking about? So evil. So here's Reuters, corrected, fact check. COVID-19 vaccines are not experimental, and they have not skipped trial stages. They're not experimental, says Reuters in a fact check. Here's one of the many, many articles about fertility, claiming that it does not affect fertility to take the vaccines. And I'm guessing in here they call it not experimental. Here's an article from the Dispatch saying, are the COVID vaccines experimental? I'm guessing they're going to say, no, they're not experimental. USA Today, one of my least favorite publications on this issue. Fact check, 6 of the most persistent misconceptions about COVID-19 vaccines. I'm guessing one of them is, myth busted. COVID vaccines are not experimental. All right, so since they're claiming to be doing science, and they're using the word experimental, and they're saying, oh, no, these drugs are not experimental. These are approved. These are EUA. These are great. No way can you call these experimental, they say. Well, let's look at the scientific method, because they're giving us a result. They're saying the vaccines are safe and effective. They're saying the vaccines won't affect your fertility. They're saying the vaccines won't make you miscarry. They're saying the vaccines won't affect your mental acumen. They're saying the vaccines won't cause birth defects. They won't cause autism. They won't cause Alzheimer's. So these are apparently scientific results, right? Because if you argue with Fauci and what he says on the corporate news, then you're attacking science, right? So let's see. How does the scientific method work? Well, you ask questions, form hypotheses, then you experiment until you draw a conclusion. Okay, so it has the same root words, Latin root words, as expert. Ex meaning out of, per meaning trial or risk. Out of trial, out of risk. Right, here's another way to look at it. You construct a hypothesis, test with an experiment, analyze data and draw conclusions, and then communicate results. So when they say there are no long-term safety issues with the vaccines, what experiment did you do to run that? How could you even fit such an experiment onto the rushed timeline by which you unloaded these vaccines onto the market? You can't. It's impossible. Unless you have a time machine. What about efficacy numbers? Well, let's go back to that Moderna document. This is the FDA briefing document by which they gave it the EUA status. If we go down to unknown benefits, duration of protection. That seems like a big one we want to know, especially with you guys claiming scientifically we know for certain that it's effective. Duration of protection. As the interim and final analyses have a limited length of follow-up, it is not possible to assess sustained efficacy over a period longer than 2 months. 2 months. Oh, we can't tell you any more than 2 months. That's when they started rolling these things out on the public, saying, oh, no, they're not experimental anymore. The FDA gave it EUA. Even though a lot of these things here say, like this one, subset of certain groups in the trial are too small to evaluate efficacy outcomes for certain populations at high risk of severe COVID-19. Continued evaluation of vaccine effectiveness following issuance of an EUA and or licensure will be critical to address these uncertainties. What uncertainties? Oh, further vaccine effectiveness as influenced by characteristics of the pandemic, changes in the virus, and or potential effects of co-infections. So here's their hand that they're showing you right here. Oh, we make no claims that this is going to be effective going forward. If the virus mutates, then hey, all bets are off. It's like, no, I want you to say that it's going to be effective at solving this problem, right? That's the whole word, effective. When you say safe and effective, the word effective means it's going to solve our problem. But then you're like, oh, no, it solved that problem that we had back in 2019 and 2020 and 2021. But oh, 2022, yeah, all bets are off because it's a different problem now. You need to give us more money, take more shots, because we told you it was effective, but it was ineffective. But they'll never say that. It's my job. Let's keep going. So again, here's the scientific method that they imply that they use behind the scenes. Yet you ask them for the trials, you ask them for the data, you ask them for the isolated virus. Radio silence. They won't even answer your emails. They won't talk to you. They just go on Big Brother style onto the corporate press on your telescreen, tell you it's safe and effective, and to submit to Big Pharma. So what do you think? Let me know in the comments. Do you think it's safe? Do you think it's effective? Do you think it's dangerous? Do you think it's experimental? Do you think they're violating the Nuremberg Code by not getting people's informed consent? What about the duress they're putting people under with policies like Italy and Biden in America, forcing people to lose their jobs and the only ways they can put food on their table unless they comply and submit? I think all of this is extremely evil, and needs to be called out in real time. They're gaslighting the populations, telling them side effects are good, telling them anybody who questions us is off their rockers, they're insane, they're anti-science. Meanwhile, they don't seem to actually practice any science themselves, but think they're bulletproof. And they just keep repeating the same nonsense time and time and time again. Well, frankly, for one, I'm sick of it. So I wanted to put this video to get some of these thoughts out there. Let me know in the comments what you think. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Have a great rest of your day.